Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei. And we begin on the second line from the top, on the Omer Aleph. Remind ourselves that yesterday we had a discussion, we introduced the discussion, actually, that we'll have in great detail today, that if somebody has the ability to go and reproof other people, to help other people do the right thing, and that person doesn't, so that they're held responsible to a certain extent for all the wrongdoings that are done. So we have an obligation to be mochiach, to go and reprove other people when they're doing something wrong. And we have that as an obligation if they'll listen to us. The top Tosus points out that's if there's a chance that they'll listen to us. We'll see this Tosus inside in a moment, but if there's no chance that they'll listen to us, then we apply the principle of mutav shushogin bayu mezidin. And then it would be better sometimes if we didn't give them tochacha, because if they're not going to listen to it, but now they know that they're doing something wrong, they'll go from being accidental sinners to being intentional sinners, which is not a good thing either. But most people are going to potentially have an impact on other people, especially if you're a man of influence, a person of influence, and you can influence others around you, and they'll listen to you, then you have an obligation to go and give tochacha. And that's what we introduced yesterday, and that's what we'll spend most of this year today discussing further. So we begin, again, second line, Nun Hei Amud Aleph, with Rav Yehuda, Havi Yosef Kamei de Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud first by Rav, and after Rav passed away, he was a star pupil of Shmuel, and he was once sitting by Shmuel. And while they were sitting and learning, Asai Haihi Issa, a certain woman came in and called Tzvacha Kamei and yelled out that she wasn't being treated fairly, that the judges were not going and addressing everything that she needed to have addressed. The exact circumstances of what was not being addressed aren't given over here in the Gemara or in the Mefarshim on the Daf. In any event, Shmuel said, it's not my problem. Shmuel did not listen to her. In other words, he didn't think that he was the one that needed to address this or could address this. So his Talmud, Rav Yehuda, said to him, Bo Sover Leimar, what about the Gemara we just learned yesterday? Doesn't the Rebbe hold that a person has to go and address injustice and you're held responsible if you don't? After all, doesn't the Pasuk say, Pasuk v'mishlei, Otem ozno mizak azdol, if a person closes off his ears and doesn't hear the cries of a poor person, gamhu yikra v'lo yonis. So someday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it, mida k'neged mida, just like you didn't listen to the cries of that poor person, someday you're going to be crying and nobody's going to listen to you. So how could Rav Yehuda say to Shmuel, how could the Rebbe Shmuel not address what this lady is crying about? So I'm late. So Shmuel responds to him, he calls him Shinina. Throughout Shas, Shmuel calls him Shinina, which literally means you're a very sharp person, although I always point out there's one interpretation that means he had long teeth, and he called him you long-toothed person. But the standard understanding is it means he called him you very sharp one. Yehuda was a great Talmud Chacham. In any event, he said, don't worry about me. Reishach, your head, in other words, Rashi says, I'm your Rebbe, so I'm your head, and I'm not going to get burnt over here with this. Bikirire, I'm cool, I'm okay. I'm not the one that's going to be held responsible for this lady because I really can't help her. I don't have the ability to help this poor lady. However, Reisha, the Reishach, the head of your head, in other words, my Rebbe, the person that I turn to address these types of problems, Mar Ukva Bachamime, he's in hot water. He's in a lot of trouble because he's not addressing this poor lady's cries and trying to address the injustice that this poor lady is feeling. And that is Hoyosef Mar Ukva Av Beis Din. Mar Ukva, who was the head of the Beis Din, he was the Av Beis Din, so he needs to address this. Mar Ukva was from the Malchus of David, and he was the one that should have addressed this. Others say there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin where Rashi comments that Mar Ukva was actually a Baal Tshuva. And it goes through a whole story there about what made Mar Ukva become the great Mar Ukva. But in any event, he was the head over here, and he was the one that needed to address this woman's injustice. Dechsev, as the Pasuk says, Beis David, because he was a descendant from Beis David. Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem says to the Beis David, Hashem says essentially to Mar Ukva, Dino la boker mishpat. It's your responsibility to go do din, to go and make sure that anybody that's being oppressed over here, the oppressors are taken care of, and that the people have the money returned to the right person. And if not, then my anger will go out, my fire will go out, and will burn you. And it's not going to get put out because of your sins. In other words, if you don't address this, then you will be held accountable. So Mar Ukva is the one that Shmuel says needs to address this. I, Mestama, don't have the ability to address this poor lady's cries. And while I can empathize with her, and while I can daven for her, I don't have the ability to correct the wrong. Without going into the details, we don't have them. We can't understand exactly why Shmuel couldn't help, but we have to take the Gemara at face value. The Shmuel knew he wasn't able to help, and it was ultimately Mar Ukva's responsibility to help this poor lady. We continue on this discussion. Amalei Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Zeira says to Rabbi Simon, Lo chinumar, shouldn't the Rebbe go, lahani dvei Reish Galusa, go to the house of the Reish Galusa, and tell them to go and take care of these types of injustices? So Amalei, so Rabbi Simon responds to Rabbi Zeira, and he says, Lo mekabli minoy, they're not going to listen to me. What can I do? The Reish Galusa is not accepting my tochacha. So Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira responds back to him and says, Avo gabdolo mekabli, lo chinumar. So even if they don't accept it, don't you have an obligation to go and give them tochacha? Because after all, the Amar Rabbi Acha by Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Acha, the son of Rabbi Chanina, said, "May Olam lo yotzo mi the tov mi the Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Hakadosh Baruch Hu, whenever he says something good is going to happen, you can take it to the bank. It always is going to happen. He never retracts something positive for Klal Yisrael, except the Chazav Olira. He can retract things that are bad. But Chutz mi Dover Zeh, there was one time that Hakadosh Baruch Hu promised something good for Klal Yisrael, and then he took it back because, we'll see in this story, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't give proper tochacha. And that's the only reason why, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will retract on something good for Klal Yisrael. And this really introduces us into a long agadah over here. Now, first we start off with the pasuk. The pasuk is from Yecheskel. Tuchsev, the Navi Yecheskel is telling us about a story. Vayomer Hashem Elov, Avor b'solchir b'solchir shalayim. Hashem is telling, Yecheskel is telling us this nevuah, that Hashem is telling his angel to go into the city of Yerushalayim. His visa tov al mitzvos huanoshim hane'anochim v'hane'anokim. Go and write the letter tov. We'll see, it's like a scarlet letter. Write the letter tov on those people that are sighing and that they're very upset. Al kol ha'toevos hanasos v'socha, about all the terrible things that are happening in the city. So these are talking about the gedolim. These are talking about the leaders of Klal Yisrael that are upset by the amaratzim that are doing all sorts of wrong things. So Yecheskel is telling us in his nevuah that Hashem says to the Malach over here, go and write the letter Tav on their foreheads. Now, what exactly is going on? This is a very strange nevuah. So Rav Acha, who is the one that said this, continues, and he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel, that this Malach over here is the Malach Gavriel. And Hashem tells the Malach Gavriel, again, this is all Yecheskel's nevuah, and he says, Leichu Rishom al Mitzchon Shol Tzadikim Tav Shol Dio. Go and put a scarlet letter. Go and write with ink. This letter Tav is written with ink on the Tzadikim, on the forehead of the Tzadikim over here. Why? Shol Yishlatu Behem Malachei Chabala. When I send the Malachei Chabala, the destructive angels over here, they should pass over them. Like a little bit like on Pesach, we had the blood on the door, so to say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pass over those houses. So the people that have this ink written tough on their forehead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow the Malachi Chavala, these destructive angels, to go and destroy them. However, on the Mitzchon, now Mitzchon shall Rishayim, tough shall dam. But on the evil people, on the ones that are doing all sorts of terrible things, so then they'll have a scarlet letter written a tough in dam. Why? The Malachi Chavala will go and attack those people specifically. So again, if you have an ink written tough, you'll be passed over. And if you have a blood written tough, the Malachi Chavala will attack you. So what's going on? Omris Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midas Adin. I don't know if this is the Malach Gavriel or this is some other aspect over here, but this is the aspect of straight din, the one that doesn't have rachamim. It says this is exactly the way it should be paskin to the letter of the law. So the Midas Adin tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Nishtanu Elu Meelu? How come these tzadikim have a tough of dio and these rishayim have a tough of dam? They're both equally bad. Now, what does that mean? How can they both be bad? One a tzaddik and one a rishayim. So the Malach over here, the Midas Hadin, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between them. So Amalah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds back to the Malach over here. Halalu tzaddikim gemurim, halalu shan gemurim. What are you talking about? The ones that have the tof of the O, they're tzaddikim gemurim, they're holy people. And the other ones with the tof that's of Dan, they're rishayim gemurim. So why do you say that they're the same? So the Midas Adin responds back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omra Lefanov. The Midas Adin, it's interesting that it's in a feminine form. It's Omra La and Omra Lefanov. So the Midas Adin is referred to over here in the feminine form. And it says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haya biyadim limchos velo michu. The tzaddikim over here are not held as if they're purely innocent. They could have protested and they did not. And if you don't protest, then you're held accountable. So Amar Lo, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds back to the Midas Adin, Taka, you're right. But he says, Golui v'yodua lefanai, shemichu behem, lo yikabu behem. But I know that the tochacha that these tzaddikim would have given to these rishayim would not have been heard. And therefore, it was a bracha levatala, it would be a waste of time. So therefore, I don't hold them accountable. But the Midas Adin says, that may be good for you. Amar l'fanav, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know the past, future, and the everything. You're omnipotent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But these tzaddikim, they don't know that they won't be listened to. Im l'fanecha goli. No, it may be known perfectly well to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'hem mi goli. How did they know that they wouldn't be responded to? And that's the Tosos, the top Tosos here that I mentioned before, that says that whenever there's a suffix, will your tochacha be accepted or not, so then you're obligated to go give that tochacha. Otherwise, then we say, mutav shiyushogim v'ayu mizidim. But in a situation like this, we don't know that they're not going to listen, so then the tzaddikim had an obligation to go give tochacha. Elsewhere, we have a machlokas between Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, how far you have to go. One of them says, you actually have to go get beaten up, and then you stop giving tochacha. Otherwise, you haven't properly given tochacha. In any event, here, certainly, the Midas Adin is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tzaddikim didn't go to the standard that they had to, which was to give tochacha, and therefore they're held accountable as well, which is in accord with what we've been saying till now. And this is what we said. Nebuch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. B'davar zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, kaviyachu, changed his mind. The pasuk continues, as Rashi says, over Yeshenema, b'mikra, that zeh sha'otzi dibu l'tova, umne onish tochacha chazeba. So the Gemara tells us now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind, kaviyachu. B'hainu d'chsev, that's what the pasuk means. When it says, continuing in Yecheskel, zokein bachur u'besula, v'taf v'noshim, Tahargu, that all of these people that are innocent, they're all going to be killed. Lamashkis, the destructive forces, the angels are going to come and kill them over here. And originally, it was supposed to be that the tzaddikim who had the taf of Dio, they wouldn't be touched. But then it says, however, and you'll start over here from a mikdash. The destructive forces will start from the mikdash. What does that mean? And the first people that were actually affected by the Malachi Chabalah were the Zakenim over here. The Zakenim represent the Sanhedrin. And Tony Rav Yosef said, don't read my base hamikdash, ela mikudoshai, my most holy ones, the most mikudish people. Who are these? Elu bnei Adam, shekimu asat Torah kula, may Aleph the Atof. These are the people that fulfilled the Torah from A to Z, from Aleph until Tof. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch says, I'm going to punish them because they didn't give Tochacha to the other people. And even though I know HaKadosh Baruch says that the Tochacha wouldn't have been listened to, they did not know that, and therefore they're held accountable. Very sad. Miyad, the Gemara says, Bine Shisha Noshim. There are six people that came out. We'll see who these six people are. These are really Malachi Chavola. The Gemara will tell us in a moment. Boy Midel Shara El Yon, they're coming out from the gates, the high gates, Asher Mofnet Safona, that are on the northern side over here, and the Ish Kli Mapotso Biyodu. Each of them had a destructive hammer, so to say, in his hand. Vish Echad Besocham, and one of them was Lovush Habadim, was wearing Badim, it really should be, not Habadim, who's wearing white garments over here, white linen, and the Keses Hasofri Bemosnov, he had this Sofer's Dio in his hand, Bimosnov in his loins, Vayavo Vayamdu Eitzalam Mizbeach Hanechoshis, and he goes and stands by the Mizbeach Hanechoshis, the Kapa Mizbeach, which is the outer Mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara interrupts and says, wait a second, Mizbeach Hanechoshis Mihaba. There was no Mizbeach Hanechoshis during the days of Yechezkel, which was at the end of the Bais Rishon, because the original Mizbeach Hanechoshis was replaced by Shlomo HaMelech. He originally had a Mizbeach of Hanechoshis, but then it was too small, and they made a Mizbeach of Avonim. So that's what Rashi explains over here, that this is not the right time over here for the Mizbeach and Nechoshes. But both Rashi later on and Tosus explain that what is the usage over here? It means that the Levim had Kalim of Nechoshes that they would use to sing over here, the Klei Nechoshes for the Shira, and that's what it's referring to. In any event, that's what the Gemara says. Amalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hischilu Mimokum Sh'om Shira Lefanai. This destruction should start on the place where they're using these Klei Nechoshes, these musical instruments over here. That's what it's referring to. The destruction starts over there. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took back that these people that had the Tuf of Dio written on their foreheads, they'll be Nebuch, the first people to be destroyed over here. By the way, who are these six men that Yecheskel describes in his Nevuah? Uman ninu shisha anoshim. Who are these? Amar Chisda, these refer to six destroying angels. These are the angels known as Ketzef. Ketzef is translated as a form of anger. And the art school, they use the translation fury. Af, they use the translation anger. The Chema, they use the translation wrath. These are all forms of anger. These are all forms of destruction over here. The art school, they use the terminology destroyer, breaker, and annihilator. Tosos points out in the Tosos Ketzef Avchema, so he says the Rashba doesn't understand what's going on over here, because the Gemara elsewhere tells us in Avodah Zarah Chema Ainli. There is no more destructive angel called Chema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got rid of that. And Mishane, Kanli Yisrael, Kanli Nochem, says no, that it depends. In terms of who this Chema is still around for, there's a difference between whether it's for Yisrael or whether it's for Nochem. So Amo, Dein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chema Yisrael. It's not on Yisrael, but nevertheless, it still is around, and therefore that's why Chema was here. Others explain that Moshe Rabbeinu killed and destroyed Chema. We have a Gemara elsewhere in the Dorim that tells us that. In any event, some suggest that there are two different Chemas. So Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed one, but there is another angel called Chema that was present over here. Again, these are very esoteric and deep ideas that I can't fully explain other than reading over here what the Gemara tells us with the statements that Rashi, Tosus, and other Mefarshim tell us. But these are much deeper statements and can't be simply understood by reading them. Gemara continues and says, Umay Shnor Tov, why Bedafka was there a Tov? The letter Tov was written on the foreheads of originally the Tzadikim in Dio and on the Rishoyim in blood. So what does this Tov represent? So we'll have a number of different Amorayim that give Terutzim over here. So Rav is the first one. Rav is the Rosh of the Amorayim. Amarav, Tov means Tichye, and Tov means Tomus. The letter Tov represents those that will live and those that will die, which was the original way. The written with Dio, they would live, and the ones with blood would die. That's Rav's interpretation, why the letter Tov was written. Ushmul Amar, Tamo Zuchus Obos. And this will lead us into another discussion over here. Shmuel's opinion is that the Zuchus of the Obos, of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're the ones that are referred to as the Obos, so their Zuchus will have evaporated, it will have concluded, because Nebuchadnezzar relied upon it so many times, so this is the last straw, so to say, and the Zuchus of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is gone. That's what Shmuel says. We'll have a large discussion about this in a moment. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tachon Zuchus Avos. Rabbi Yochanan says that the mention of the Avos, that will bring about the Tachon, the niceness over here, the chain of Zuchus Avos. And that Tav represents Tachon, that it should be chain on us because of the Zuchus of the Avos. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the Zuchus Avos is still around. Reish Lakish Amar, Tav Sof Chosom Shalakosh Baruch Hu. The letter Tav stands for the last letter in Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Emes. Rashi explains that we're given with the beginning of the Aleph Beis and the middle of the Aleph Beis, which is the Mem, and the end of the Aleph Beis with the Tav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, from A to Z. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Emes. The Mefarshim point out that all of these letters are very broad base. The Aleph has a very strong foundation. The Mem has a broad base, a strong foundation. The Tav has a broad foundation. As opposed to, they point out, Sheker, every one of those letters, Shin, Kuf, and Reish, is coming to a point and has a very a flimsy foundation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chosamo, his name is Emes. And the Gemara brings a proof to Reish Lakish from the Amr B'Chanina, Chosamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. He actually states that the signature, so to say, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. In any event, the final answer is Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. That's the Girsa that we have, but it really should be Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar, because when you're just having another opinion, it's not mutually contradictory, then we start off with the name of the person and Amar, as opposed to Amar, when you have the name after the word Omar, it implies that he's disagreeing with the previous opinion. In any event, Rosh Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says that the fifth and final answer is Elu Bnei Adam Shekimu Es HaTorah Kula Me Aleph Yatav. So these are the people that fulfilled the Torah from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, and that's why the Tav was specifically put on the forehead of these tzaddikim. Now the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, the Zuchus of the Avos has ended. So Me'ema Saitama Zuchus Avos. When did the Zuchus of Avim Yitzchak and Yaakov end? So the Gemara gives several terutzim as well over here. It starts off again with Rab. We always start off with Rab. I'm a Rab. Mimoso Shea ben Beri. This is from the days of the Navi Hoshea. And he said, the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Agala es Navluso li'enei me'avela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, so to say, reveal the nevola, the horror over here, the disgrace of Klai Yisrael in front of their, quote, lovers, in front of the other nations. Vishlo yatzilena miyodi. And nobody will be able to save Klai Yisrael. So that implies over here that the schus of the Avos is gone, because at this point in time, there won't be a schus. Nobody, even from the Avos, will be able to save Klai Yisrael. As Rashi says, Vishlo yatzilena she'ein od schus la'avos, there no longer is merit that we can rely upon from the Avos, sha'achalua, that it's all eaten up or it's all gone. So that's teretz number one from Rav. Teretz number two, Shmuel says, Ushmuel mar miyimei Chazoil. This was from the days of Chazoil. Chazoil was a melech of Aram, as we'll see, and he lived in the time of Yehoahaz, as the Pasuk says, Shenemar, the Chazoil, melech Aram, lochatz es Yisrael, he pressured the Klai Yisrael, kol yimei Yehoahaz, all the days of the melech Yehoahaz. And it says after that, Uksiv, Vayachon Hashem Osam, Hashem had mercy on them, And Vayirachamim, he had mercy on them. Vayifin aleim leman briso, and he gave them this time. He helped save them in the schos of the bris of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. However, below over hishlisam, he didn't allow them to be destroyed. Below hishlicham mialponav ad otah, and he no longer allowed them to go and be attacked over here and thrown away. Now, Tosus learns it out from the lashon over here. The bris of Avram and Yitzchak Yaakov, that still was intact, but the schus, he differentiates between the schus and the bris of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the schus is gone, but the bris remains, and it was only the bris that saved them at this point in time because the schus was gone. Rashi learns it out from the last words, ad ota, until now, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, meaning not the bris, but the schus was able to save them, and no longer would that apply. So it's the second teretz from Shmuel. Rav Shuben Levi gives the third teretz. He says, Omar, Mimei Eliyahu, this zechus of the Avos was gone from the time of Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel. Vahi Balos HaMincha, so Eliyahu goes up on Har HaKarmel at the time of Mincha, and he does the famous miracle, he waters everything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down the fire that burns up the Korbanos. Vahigash Eliyahu Novi, Vayom HaShem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael, and he says in the name of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Hayom Yivada, today let it be known, Ki Ato Elokim Yisrael, Vani Abdecha, Ugdvorecha Asisa, Es Kol HaDvorim Eilu V'Gomer. I'm doing this all from you. In other words, this Horah Shah is all coming from you. So we learn out from over here, it says that at this time, the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Yivada, Hayom Yivada, will be known today. As Rashi points out, Sha'ata Zoche Bris Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael from today, Midukamar Hayom Yivada implies Visu Lo. No longer will that Zchus help us over here, Michlal D'Toma, because the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov has been completed, it's done. And only, Ayidei Rachamim, Huskru Lehem B'mei Chazor. We just had earlier Psukim that were coming later after this point in time, so that wasn't the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that was just mentioned over here from the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a freebie to us, and not from the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's teretz number three. Now we go to teretz number four. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mimei Chizkiyo. It was during the days of Chizkiyo HaMelech, where it says over there, Shenemar, Lamar BeHamisra, when there is a lot of leadership, Ulashalom, Ein Keitz, Al Kisei David, V'Al Mamlachto, Lohachin Osa, Ulasado BeMishpot of Tzedakah Miyato V'Yad Olam, Kinas Hashem Tzvakos, Tas Ezos V'Gomer. What does this mean? So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow there to be the Shalom and this reigning of Malchus Beis David, but at some point, it will no longer be there. But right now, it is. And that implies that only until right now is this schus over here. But there afterwards, this schus will not be here. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us over here that the schus of the Avos is not going to be here anymore. And why will we eventually be saved? The ultimate geula will come, the ultimate restoration of us to Eretz Yisrael will only become because of Hashem Tzvakos Tasezos, and not in the schus of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So again, we have all these different Amoraim who tell us different periods in time when they suggest that the schus of the Avos has been terminated, according to the opinion of Shmuel, that schus is gone. Now, not everybody agrees with Shmuel. Others say that the schus of the Avos is still there. Tosus has a whole discussion when we say in our davening, we ask in the schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, so according to Shmuel, that schus isn't there. We're asking in the bris of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but others suggest no, we're still saying that the schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov should be Megan for us. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Ravami, Ravami tells us, Ein Misa below Chay. Nobody dies unless they did a sin. Ein Yisurim below Avo. And nobody gets suffering, nobody gets Yisurim, unless there was a sin that was appropriate for that person to get suffering. That's what Ravami tells us. Gemara now brings Psukim to support what Rav Ami said. Ein misa v'lochei, nobody dies without having sinned, because the Pasuk tells us in Yecheskel also, ha-nefesh ha-chotes, he somos, only a sinner will die. Bein lo yisaw bavona av, a son will not be punished for the sins of the father, vav lo yisaw bavona bein, and a father will be punished for the sins of his son. Tzidkas ha-tzadik olav tiyah. The person who is a tzadik, he'll live because of his own tzidkos. V'ris ha-sharash olav tiyah. And the evil people, they'll be punished because of their sins. This implies that nobody dies unless they did a sin. The sinners die, the tzadikim don't die. Then it says, "En yisurim below avon," and likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give affliction over here, doesn't give yisurim, unless there's a sin that is appropriate for that person to get afflictions. And this is based upon a pasuk from Tehillim. Ufakariti b'shevet pisham, I shall give them a zet, so to say, with a makel, with a shevet, ubinagoyim avonim, and I'll give them negoyim because of their sins. In other words, their pesha and their avonim, that will be the reason why they get a pesh. That will be why they get yisur. We turn to the Omid Beis. Gemara continues and says, is this really so? Is Rav Ami correct? I'll show you a brisa that says it's not correct. It says, Nesve, Amru Malachi Asher Sinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimnei Ma Konas the Misal Adam Rishon, why did you make Adam Rishon die? After all, what did he do so wrong? He did one little sin. What's the big deal? So Gemara answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them, Amalem, Hashem tells these Malachi Ashares, Mitzvah Kalin Tzivis, if I give him one little thing to do, don't eat from the Eitz Das, and he went and transgressed it. So therefore, of course he got punishment. Amrulo, but the Malachim said back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wait a second, Malo Moshe V'Aaron, Shekimu Kol HaTorah Kulo V'Meisu, Moshe and Aaron, they're without sin. We're assuming right now that they're there without sin, and yet they were Mekayim the whole Torah, and yet they died. So what are you going to say to that? So Amalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them, no, Mikra Echol HaTzadik V'Larosha LaTov V'Gomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, death will happen no matter what, even if you're a great tzaddik. I decree death on the world. So this is the Kash and Rav Ami. He said that Moshe and Aaron died, and they didn't deserve to die. They died without sin, and yet they died. So Kash and Rav Ami, how can you say that nobody dies except for sin? Now Rav Ami is an Amora, so he can't argue with the Braisa. So the Gemara says, no, who the Amor ki haitana? He has a Braisa that accords with his Shita. What is that? The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mary brings down the Braisa from Shimon ben Elazar, Af Moshe V'Aaron b'cheto meisu, that even Moshe and Aaron, as great as they were, lo kam b'yisrael k'moshe od, and Aaron is the equivalent of Moshe, nevertheless, even though Moshe and Aaron are so great, they each died because of a sin. And that's in accord with what Rav Ami said. Where do we find this? Af Moshe V'Aaron b'cheto meisu, shenama, because the Pasuk says, Yan lo hemantem bi. The Pasuk tells us in Chumash that even Moshe and Aaron, the reason why they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, the reason why they died was because they didn't believe fully in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, on their Madrega, they're held accountable for even Chut HaSar, even for the slightest diminution in their Emuna. And therefore, Hoha Mantenbi implies that if they had fully believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adayin Lo Yuz Manchem Lipot Min Olam, they wouldn't have died. So even the greatest people, even Moshe and Aaron, this Brisa says, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, that they died because of sin. And that's in accord with what Rav Ami said, that nobody dies without sin. Gemara says, wait a second, Meisu, we have another famous Brisa that tells us, Arba Meisu Be'et Yoshel Nachosh, there are four people that didn't deserve to die on their own. They only died because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that there should be death in the world after the eating from the Eitz Hadas. Who are these four people? Now, they're all great, great tzaddikim, but not necessarily people that we would have named on our own. Be'eluhein, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Binyamin, the Shevet Binyamin, Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, he was a person who died without any sin. Va'amrim, Abi Moshe, Moshe's father, Amram, he was the god of Ladar. V'Yishai, Abi David, that's David's father, he was the god of Ladar. V'Chilav ben David, we had in the Gemara in Brachos how great Chilav was, he was able to go and save the embarrassment of his father when Mephibosheth embarrassed or seemed to embarrass David and Halacha, so Kiliav, he was able to go and redeem his father by showing that his father was right and Mephibosheth was wrong. In any event, these four great tzaddikim only died because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, because of the sin of the Nachash, that there should be death in the world. The Kulo Gemara. All of them, we don't have a source for this other than this is our transmission. This is the Gemara. With one exception, Lavar, Meyishai Avidavid. We have a proof for Yishai, David's father, that he died without sin. Where do we know that? The Mefarish Beikra, because we have a drasha on the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us from Shmuel Beis, the Chassid, it says there, V'es Amosa, Som Avshalom Tachas Yoav, now it should be Al Hatzova, not Tsar Hatzova, Al Hatzova, V'amosa Ben Ish Ushmo Yisra Israeli, Ashaba El Abigail Bas Nochosh. The critical words over here in this lineage is that Abigail was the daughter of Nochosh. And she was the sister, Achos Tsruya. Abigail and Tsruya were the sisters of David HaMelech, and they were the daughters of Nachash. Now, and this was over here, Aim Yoav, that she was the mother, Yoav ben Tsruya. So Tsruya is actually, interesting fact, the most common mentioned woman's name in all of Tanakh is Tsruya. People don't even know that when they say Yoav ben Tsruya, they think somehow that Tsruya was a man, but Tsruya is actually his mother. And in any event, she's the most mentioned woman in all of Tanakh. So, these two sisters, Abigail and Tsruya, were the daughters of Nachash. That's what the Pasuk says. The Gemara says, V'chi bas Nachash havai? Who is this Nachash? Was she the daughter of Nachash? V'lo bas Yishai havai? They were both the daughters of Yishai. Tosev, and we see this because we now have another Pasuk that tells us, V'ach Yosem Tsruya of Abigail. Their sisters were Tsruya and Abigail. So the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim tells us that they were the sisters of Yishai's sons, of David HaMelech and his brothers. So how can you tell me that Nachash was the father, Yishai was the father? Ella what? We see a drash over here. Ella bas misha meis be'et yoshel Nachash. Yishai is called the one who died because of the Nachash, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that there should be death in the world. So these four people died only because death was decreed in the world. Now, this is a problem for Rav Ami, because Rav Ami says nobody dies except because of sin. So who is the author of this brisa that we just brought down? Mani. If you're going to tell me that the author of this brisa is the same author of the brisa we had before from the Malachi Asharis, who said that Moshe and Aaron didn't die because of sin, so then this brisa should have said, Va'iko Moshe v'Aaron, so then it should have listed six people over here that died without sin, but it only lists four. So the author of this brisa cannot be the author of the Malachi Asharis brisa. Ella, who must it be? It must be Rav Shimon Elazar. Ella, Lav Rav Shimon Elazar is the author of this brisa. These are the only two opinions that we know. Ushmamino, Yesh Misa Belochet. There are people that die without sin. The Yesh Yisurim Elohavot. And there are people that die, that get afflicted, they have Yisurim, without having sin. And therefore, this brisa tiyufta de Rav Ami, this is a problem for Rav Ami, because this brisa is in accord with Rav Ami, and he has no other brisa that can support him, and the Gemara concludes tiyufta. In fact, this is a tiyufta for Rav Ami. Now, Tosus over here has a couple of questions. Tosus says, we have another pasuk from Koheles where it tells us, ki odam ein tzadik ba'aretz, that there is nobody in the world who is a pure tzadik, and everybody dies because of sin. So how do you reconcile that with the four that died over here, be'ityo shel nachash? So Tosu says that that's talking about most people. Berov Adam, in Koheles, it's talking about most people, but there are exceptions, and therefore these four people are the exceptions to the rule. Furthermore, Tosu says the next Tosu, Shmamino, Yesh Misa Belochet, this is a raya against Rav Ami, and it says, V'yesh Yisurim below Avim, but there was no raya against that. So he says, V'afogad divmai dekoma, ein Yisurim below Avim, lo Yitosav. So the Gemara concludes that Rav Ami is proven wrong, even though we only proved it wrong for the Misa Belochet, that we proved it wrong, even though we didn't prove it wrong for the Yisurim below Avim, nevertheless, the Braisa concludes that Rav Ami is Tiyufta against him. So, the Gemara concludes over here, but now it's going to segue into a further discussion about other people that seem to have a sin, but really, in fact, did not have a sin. We'll see, this is a simon over here, we'll have in the Gemara in a moment, of a whole bunch of famous personalities from Tanakh that we're now going to discuss. The first one is Reuven, the son of Yaakov. Amar Bishmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name Amar of Yonah's son, Kol Omer Reuven Chota Eino Elatoa. Anybody that says that Reuven, in fact, sinned with the Maisa, with Bilhah, that he was mevalvel, the bed of his father, what that exactly means. So anybody who says that Reuven really sinned in that situation is making a mistake. What's going on? So we bring down the pasuk, Shnema Aviyu v'nei Yaakov Shnei Mosar, that it tells us at the end of the Maisa with Bilhah, that he moved her bed, so it says that still Yaakov had 12 sons, they're all Sholem. Which the Gemara says, Melame Shekulon Shekulim Kiachas. They all 12 were equal. In other words, none of them had left the good graces, and they all are the Shvatim, the holy Shvatim, and it includes Reuven. So Gemara says, how do you explain, according to Rav Yonah's son, the pasuk Elamani Mekayim Vayishka Vizbilah Pilegesh Aviv? You're telling me that Reuven didn't do any sin, but the pasuk certainly seems to suggest that he did a horrible sin, that he slept, Rachmana Litzlan, with his father's wife, Bilah, who was the Pilegesh, the wife without a ksuba of his father. So how could you go and, Rachmana Litzlan, have Reuven commit such an act of immorality and say that he didn't sin? So Gemara says, Melamid Shabilbel Matzo Shalaviv. He didn't actually, Rachmana Litzlan, commit an act of immorality with her, but he did do something wrong, and that's he mixed up the bed of his father. In other words, as we'll see, he removed the bed of his father from being in the house of Bilhah, and he moved it into the house of Leah. Because he did this incorrect action, he should have asked his father what to do. He should have sought counsel from his father. He did it on his own. So therefore, the Torah gives us a description by Yishkadis Bilhah, which means an immorality, but not certainly the immorality that it literally means. That's the conclusion of Rav Yonah's son. So anybody that says that Reuven did this sin is making a mistake. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, the Braisa tells us from Rav Shimon Elazar, Mutzal Osu Atzadik Miosu Ovan. Rav Shimon Elazar says that there's no way that Reuven did such a horrible sin, Rachmana Litzlan, V'lo Bo Mais Zeliodo. And you can't understand this pasuk literally, that Rachmana Litzlan, Reuven actually committed an act of Znus with his father's wife, with Bilhah. Where do we know this from? So the pasuk says, Efsha Osid Zaro Lamot Alhar Eva Velomar Oru Shoche Vimashus Ovid. Ultimately, when we have the Shvatim all standing by Har Grizim and Har Eva, and it says that if anybody did such a sin, they're going to be cursed. So Reuven's Shevet is standing over there, and they're saying about them, Oru, it's cursed, is somebody Shoche Vimashus Ovid that sleeps Rachman al Sam with his father's wife. So how could they have the shevet of Reuven standing over there if Reuven in fact did such a sin? It doesn't make any sense. So then how do you understand the pasuk? Elamani Mekayim V'yishkav Hizbilah Pilegis Aviv? No, the pasuk seems to say that he did do that immorality. So Gemara says, Elbon Imo Tova. He wanted to go and address the problem that Leah was being dissed over here in modern terminology, that instead of now, after Rachel dies, so the right place for Yaakov's bed should be in Leah's tent, not anymore in Rachel's tent, but instead, the elbon imotova is the diss to his mother, that instead of her being the primary wife. Now, Bilhah seems to be the primary wife. So Amar, he said, Im achos imi hoy satzor limi. Okay, my mother's sister, she was a real tzara. Tzara is the word that we use for a co-wife. We don't have this terminology today because nobody has two wives. But in those days, when they had two wives, they were called tzaras to each other because they usually caused trouble for each other. That's why they're called tzaras to each other. So he said, I understand when Rachel was around, my mother's sister, so knew she was a viable alternative to my mother. But Shivcha Sachosimi, Te Tzarolimi, but my mother's sister's servant, she should now take the place. That's not right. And therefore, Ahmad Reuven got up, Ubil Belasmatzor, he switched the beds around. And that's what he did. But he didn't, Rachman al-Islam, do the act of immorality that the seeming words of the Torah tell us. Now, Gemara says, Acherim Omrim, the Acherim say, that's often Rav Meir, Shtei Matzol's Bilbel, that he actually didn't mess up just the bed, so to say, of Yaakov, but he messed up the bed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho. So it's Achel Shul Shechin of Yaakov Shul Ovid. And what is this understanding? He messed up both of those beds, because the Gemara tells us, Vayinu Dersiv, the Pasuk says, Och Sichalta Yitzui Ola, it means that he did a chilul, he desecrated over the bed, over here, it says Yitzui, which implies plural, Atikri Yitzui, Ela Yitzui, which means both of the beds, which refers to the beds of both HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho, and of Yaakov. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us over here, Dainu Shechina, if this is the Shechina's bed over here, and that means in Divra Masel, Aska Shel Shechina, Kacha Yaakov Oseh. This was Yaakov's normal activity. So we had four wives. He had four separate tents for each of his four wives. So he had a separate bed in each of their tents for, quote, the Shechina. And when he would come home, so Vosol Shuroa Boa Shechina, whichever one of the four Aholos that had the presence of the Shechina, he could detect that, so that's the one that he went to for that night. So therefore, when Reuven switched around the bed, so he not only switched around Yaakov's bed, so to say, he switched around the Shechina's bed. In any event, this interpretation assumes that Reuven did not really sin. And this is a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara says ketanoi. In fact, not everybody agrees to this. And we have differing interpretations of what the bracha that Yaakov gave to Reuven, which actually doesn't sound like a bracha, is pachas kamayim al tosa. It says that you acted like mayim, that the rapid flowing water, you acted in a way that was really without thinking about it. You acted very quickly and rapidly without controlling yourself, just like water flows without control. So therefore, you acted pachas kamayim. You were like flowing water that doesn't have control. And that's the opinion over here that Rabbi Elazar tells us that Reuven did something wrong. He really did an aveira. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that we take this, Rashi says, the word pachas is a nutricon. We use it over here as a mnemonic. It means pay means pasta. You acted very, very inappropriately and very rapidly and quickly. Chavta, you did a chov, you did something wrong. And zalta, you did a zilzal over here. You acted in a way that's improper. In other words, you actually sinned. Rabbi Elazar says that Reuven actually sinned. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, pasata. He also does this nutrikon over here for pachas. He says the pay stands for pasata aldos. You stepped over here on the law. Chotasa, the ches means you sinned. You actually did the sin of vayishkav is bila. And Zanisa, you acted in a way of Zanus. So both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua say that Reuven actually sinned. On the other hand, you have the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, who says, Pilalta, what does it mean over here? The pachas, the pei, stands for you davened. And chalta means that you begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And zorcha, the zayin, stands for zorcha tefilasecha, your tefillah was answered. And Rashi points out that this was before he did the sin. Pilauta li notzel menachet. You davened over here that you should not do the sin, not that you did the sin and you davened. That's the understanding of Rabbi Gamliel. That would be like the opinion that says that Reuven did not sin. And finally, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Adayin Tzrichin Olam Modoy. There's a fourth interpretation over here that's the best one, and that's from Rabbi Elazar Modoy. We need the Modoy, the one who comes from Modoy. It's a place near Yerushalayim. In any event, he says that Rabbi Elazar HaModoy Omer, Hafoches HaTeva V'Dorsha, darshan it backwards. This new treatment over here is not Ches Zayin, but read it, Zayin Ches Pei. So the Zayin stands for Ziazata, you quaked. the hirtata, the ches. Now, it's a hey over here, but the ches and hey are interchangeable. They're both guttural sounds. So the ches can be understood as hirtata, which means you pulled back. And parcha, the pei, chet mimcha, the sin flew away from you. So that's how he darshened it. So we have two tanoim that say that Reuven sinned, the first two, Rabbi Lezer Agodol and Rabbi Yeshua, and then you have Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer Hamodai, who say, no, he didn't sin. And similarly, we have an Amora, Rava, who says the same thing. Rava, Ma'arva, Amile, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, was the other say, was Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, who said, you darshan it's backwards, the Pecha Ches Zayin. Pachas, so the Zayin is, Sachar to Onshul Shadova. You realize if you do this sin, Rachman al-Assam, what a great onish it would be. Chilisa Atzmucha Choli Godel. And therefore, you made yourself sick over here in order not to do this sin, and Perashto Milachto, and you separated yourself from doing this sin. So therefore, the Amora, Rava, or Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba agrees with the latter two Tanoic interpretations. But this is a machlokes tanoi. And now we have a simon over here. We always say out the simonim. It's a chus to say them. Reuven, we already discussed Reuven. I'm not sure why the simon is over here and not before the statements about Reuven. But in any event, the simon is over here. Reuven, b'nei Eli, the children of Eli. Eli was the Kohen Gadol, the great leader of Klal Yisrael. And we'll see his sons, Hophni and Pinchas, were also spoken about it in a less than glamorous way, in a less than very strong positive way, and we'll see what that means. The Bnei Shmuel, the same thing. David, Ushlomo, Veyoash, Simon. So we're going to have statements about all of these great personalities of Tanakh to better understand them. So we start off, we did Reuven, so now we go to Bnei Eli. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Yonah's son, Kolomer Bnei Eli Chotu, Eino El Toa. Anybody says that the Bnei Eli did the sin that they're accused of, because the Pasuk seems to say that they committed adultery, Rachman Litzlan. So he says, anybody who says that they really committed adultery is nothing other than mistaken. They're making a terrible mistake. Because the Pasuk seems to say, Shenemar, Visham Shnei Bnei Eli, they were the two sons of Eli over there. Now, it says, Im Aron Bris Halukim, that's not part of the Pasuk, so we just delete that. Chofni Upinchas, they were the two sons of Eli, Kohanim Lashem, they were great Kohanim Lashem. Now, Rav Yonason over here, Shmuel Bar Nachmani, in the name of Rav Yonason, says that the Bnei Eli didn't sin. So who is this in accord with? This goes with the statement that Rav made. Shavalok Rav, that his opinion over here is like that of Rav. Domer Rav, that Rav said, Pinchas Lachota, that the son Pinchas of Eli didn't sin. Rav holds that Chofni did sin, but he holds that Pinchas did not sin. And Rav Yonason then is making Chofni to Pinchas. He says, just like Pinchas didn't sin, so too Chofni didn't sin from the Hekish that they compared together. Ma Pinchas lo choto, av Chofni lo choto. And Rav Yonason says that neither of them sinned. Now, how does he know this? The pasuk says, "Elamani mekayim asher yishkavun es anoshim." It says they seem to sleep with the wives. They committed adultery, Rachman al-Islan. So, how do you explain the pasuk in a positive way, or at least in not such a negative way? So he says, "Mitoch sheshiu es kinehen." That Chofni and Pinchas, they did something wrong. Tosus point out, don't think that they were tzaddikim gemurim. It says over here, they just didn't do this sin, but they did something else wrong. They delayed the people, the women, from bringing their korban so they couldn't go home to their husbands. And therefore, they delayed the marital bliss that the husbands and wives would have had. And that's a terrible sin. Gemara is saying over here an idea that's brought down la halacha, that anybody that is causing a married couple not to be able to be together is doing a terrible avla. And that's why they were using such harsh terms against Chofni and Pinchas. And it uses the term that asher yishkivu and esanoshim, even though they didn't actually sleep with them, they didn't, Rachman al-Islam, commit adultery, but they did a terrible thing, and that's why they delayed their bringing their bird offerings after they had childbirth, and therefore that caused them to delay and not go back to their families, and that is such a terrible thing, so they use even a stronger sin to describe it, that of adultery, even though they didn't obviously commit adultery. That's the opinion of Yonah's son, and he says that this was true for both Chofni and Pinchas. Rav says it was only true for Pinchas. Rav seems to imply that Chofni did this sin. So let's understand Rav. Gufo, Amar Rav. Rav seems to say that Pinchas lo chata, but Chofni did. Now, how do we know that Pinchas didn't sin according to Rav? Shenemar, it says, Va'achiyo ben Achitov, Achi Ikavo ben Pinchas ben Eli Kohen Hashem Gomer. So we see that Pinchas' grandson was a Kohen Lashem. Now, Efshar Chet Bo Liodo, is it possible that his grandfather should have sinned? Va'kosav Miachso, and yet Pinchas would be mentioned in a positive way as being the grandfather over here of Achitov, and therefore it's impossible that in fact Pinchas had sinned if he's mentioned in this lineage over here. And that's what Rav continues when he says, Efshar Chet Bo Liodo, Va'kosav Miachso, how could it possibly be that Pinchas did a sin and yet he's listed over here in this lineage? V'lo kvar nemar, Yachreis Hashem Lo'ish, Asher Yasena, Hashem will cut off somebody that did this Aveira. Er v'one me'ole Yaakov u'magish mincha Hashem tzvakos. Hashem will not let such a person be er v'one from Ole Yaakov, or Megish Mincha, if he's a Kohen. And that's what the Pasuk means. So Rav continues and he says, in Yisrael who, if the person's not a Kohen, he's a regular Yisrael, lo yeh lo er b'chachomim, v'lo oneh b'talmidim. He won't be somebody that's er, in other words, he won't be somebody that is awake over here with the Chachamim, he won't be somebody that's involved in the sugyas of the Chachamim, and lo oneh b'talmidim, and he won't even be amongst the Talmidim that goes and asks questions. And if he's a Kohen, Im Kohen Hu, Lo Yelo Bein Magish Mincha, he won't be somebody that goes and does the Korban Mincha. So therefore, you see that Pinchas is obviously a tzaddik because he's mentioned in this lineage. So therefore, Rav's opinion is, El Olav, Shema Mino, Pinchas Lochotah, you see that Pinchas didn't sin. But Rav holds that, in fact, Chofni did sin, which we'll explain in a moment. So now, the psukim still are a problem for Rav, because the Pasuk says, Elohok Siv, Asher Yishkivun. The Pasuk seems to say that both Chofni and Pinchas slept with these women. They committed adultery. And according to Rav, it's not saying that they just delayed the korbanos. He says that Chofni really sins. So this implies Yishkivun means both of them. So Rav would answer, no, Yishkivein ksiv. It's a ksivukri, so to say. The word is pronounced Yishkivun, but it's spelled Yishkivein, that only one of them, Chofni, did the Avera. I, Voksiv, Albonoi, Ki lo tova hashimua. So Eli says, I heard bad things about both of you. So Abonai, now that implies that both Chofni and Pinchas did this Avera. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no. Again, it's pronounced Bonoi, but it could be spelled Bini, which means that only Chofni did the sin. Gemara is not happy yet. Gemara says, Vachsiv ma'avirim. The Pasuk says that people are saying that you're causing this sin over here, meaning both of his children. It's spelled without a yud, and therefore it means, again, only Chofni did the sin, and not both Chofni and Pinchas. Rashi and Tosos over here point out that that's not the girsa that we have. We have the girsa with a yud, so they just delete this over here and said this is a mistake. In any event, the Gemara ends off and says, it says b'nei. Now, there's no way to say b'ni b'li'al. That means b'nei, which implies that both Chofni and Pinchas did the sin, but Rav says that only Chofni did the sin, not Pinchas. So the Gemara gives a terence. Then that really is what our Gemara has been talking about all day long. That Pinchas should have protested. Hey, my brother Chofni, what are you doing? And he should have been protesting. Limchos l'Chofni below Micha. Therefore, he's also held accountable as a Bnei Belial. Malo v'kosov ki luchota. He is held accountable too for this quote sin that Chofni did. Pinchas is held just as accountable. He could have protested, and he didn't. That really is the end of the story of Chofni and Pinchas. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, where it talks about the B'nai Shmuel. This is a good point for us to stop the share.